Welcome everyone to the Amped to 11 podcast. I am flying solo today because the internet gods are not working and Rebecca is unable to join us. So instead of you listening to a staticky Rebecca, I am honored to introduce our amazing guest today. I'm going to do the honor of giving her a brief bio before we dig in. But Marissa Sadler-Holder is a two-time recipient of ASU-GSV's 2024-2025 Leading Women in AI. She has 13 years of classroom experience. She's a nationally recognized educator and innovator. She led work at La Cañada Unified School District. She's taught a variety of subjects. She's been a teacher leader. She has her master's in e-learning. She's really being on the front lines of transforming what teaching can look like, especially when powered by AI and led by amazing coaching and leadership, like what Marissa brings to the table. Most importantly, she's recently founded Teaching with Machines. It's a platform and a consulting agency. She supports forward-thinking educators. She's supporting school districts to harness AI to enhance instruction and student empowerment. Marissa's working with public and private institutions around the country, including right in California, the Orange County Department of Ed, on their AI initiatives and AI integration. And if you're not already up on it, she has this amazing weekly newsletter where she's offering the real insights and resources in AI and education that people need. Marissa, welcome to the Amped to 11 podcast.
Thank you so much, Brett, for having me.
I'm sure, obviously, you're a longtime listener, so you already know the format. But for the folks out there, we're going to kick it off with a number of questions, many of which are 11 themed. And we're just going to have a free-flowing conversation on it today. And really excited for you to share with folks, you know, what innovative solutions are out there. Who are some innovative partners and educators you want to shout out and highlight? And just also really talk about the work you're leading. This is an opportunity for people to get to know you, the work you're doing. And, you know, if they want to reach out and connect with you further, please feel free to let them know how to do so. Sound good?
Yeah, sounds great.
All right. So the first question we always start with on the Amped to 11 podcast is with pop culture, Stranger Things, right? One of the main characters, 11, the supernatural powers, jaw-dropping moments when everyone encounters them. So Marissa, you know, going back in the last few years or so, tell our audience, what are some true jaw-dropping AI moments you've seen that really move the work forward in education?
Well, and this is going to sound so ridiculously simplistic, but for me, it was that kind of jaw-dropping moment that I think most educators experience. And it was simply just rewriting an email. And the reason why I say this is because we have this kind of, I like to say, two light bulbs. The first one is like, oh, this is amazing. Oh, it can do X, Y, Z, and look at it go. But then there's that second light bulb that kind of goes off after you've been playing with it for a while that kind of says, hey, this is amazing, but this is going to be bigger than just amazing. This is going to impact humanity. And of course, impact education. And for me, as simple as rewriting an angry email from a parent and kind of responding to them, and I'll give you a little bit of background. I got it was around this time of year. So like May, right? Final stress, ready for the finish line. And I got this angry email from a parent and I quickly ran to my classroom bestie, you know, my teacher bestie, and I said, would you see this email? And I'm having a miniature meltdown or whatever. And she says, you know, I don't think you should respond to that email right now. I think you should wait. You're really emotional. And she said, but I think you should write what you want to say back to this person. No holds bar. Now, as a French teacher, I had some French choice words that I put in that response email. And I wrote it out. And then she says, go ahead and run that through AI to make it professional. So you're not going to get a call from HR the next day. And it took kind of that same, you know, this is, I'm not going to take this, but here's a solution. And then at the same time, professionalized it, made it so I didn't get a call from HR, but I still got my point across and it was done. And a couple things happened there. I was like, okay, that would have taken me hours, not just to calm down, but taking me hours to kind of draft that carefully worded email to capture what I wanted to capture, but then also that emotional ease of having a tool kind of take what I needed from it, but then turned it in quickly into something that I can send was twofold for me. And then I thought, oh my gosh, you know, how is this going to impact education at that point? Because I understand it for me, what's it going to do for my students? And I think that is where I kind of said, okay, as simple as an email, that's where I have my second light bulb. This is going to be huge.
I'm so curious, right? You had this personal moment. You immediately not only learned how to utilize it for yourself in that moment, but now you're helping educators, you know, around the country really think through those, how to go from, you know, a place of emotion and now to move it towards how can I utilize this tool to help me, you know, be a better communicator, any of the aspects. What are some either jaw-dropping moments you're seeing when you're helping teachers right now out in the field? Or what are some things that you're seeing from them where they're like, when you teach them this now, they are like, oh my gosh. You know, I know we had a moment with a teacher who said, basically started crying and said, I feel like I just got my whole, you know, nights and weekends back planning doc. So yeah, what are some moments that you put out to you?
For that, it was, I would say, when teachers realize that they can create quickly. And I think that's always been kind of the issue for a lot of teachers, is that we have this creative capacity. It's part of our craft. It's part of our profession, but we just simply don't have the time or bandwidth to do it. And so having something like AI that can actually do that and help you kind of enable you to create. I think that's what I would see with coaching sessions. For example, they would create something and they'll be like, I just save 5 minutes. I think at that point, I like to take the conversation with them and say, now we have all this free time. What would you want to do next? Where can we go in your craft and creativity and your expertise? Can we take it to the next level? And something that you haven't been able to do because you didn't have AI on your side. And I think that's my favorite when I see the teachers get excited about, yeah, it's great about replicating and doing the things that we already do, but being able to do something they couldn't do before without it, that's where it is pretty incredible to see.
And it requires someone like yourself or hopefully a leader at their school to be able to do what you just said, which is people, as you know, as you in your dozen plus years of education experience, people aren't typically asking you that. Like, they're not asking, what do you want to do? Or what would you like to do with this time? Because it's typically, there's so many things you have to do with your time that you don't usually have that grace of free time. So what are educators saying they want to do? Like, where do they want to go deeper when you give them that privilege?
I think a lot of times they want to maybe enhance their assessments. Maybe they want to do something that they haven't done before. A lot of times they'll think of new projects. Of course, creating those projects, you know, you have your rubric, you know, whatever is student facing, you have the outcomes that you have to list for your students and what that would look, and then timelines and all of that could be done relatively quickly. But I think the spirit of being okay with just trying is probably the best thing that teachers can take away from all of this, is let it be that messy process. We want students to be messy with their process of learning. We can be the same with our own. It's okay to tell your students, hey, I'm trying something out new. I would love your feedback. Here's something exciting that you could be doing. And they'll do, you know, we've had, you know, TikTok, you know, projects, something that's super relevant to students, something that captures their own interest. And I found that a lot of teachers are kind of able to make that connection quickly for their students of like, so for example, I taught French. Well, there's not a lot of kids who are maybe passionate about French and they don't understand why we have to learn it. But I, you know, using AI and leveraging it and bringing it together based off of student interests, suddenly French is now relevant. Suddenly learning French is relevant. And it's a heck of a lot easier having somebody kind of help connect those dots with you than you always having to be, you know, big wisdom, the one that has to know everything.
Yes, I think that's a really relevant case. My mom was a foreign language teacher for many years, and some of the assignments she would do, like you said, getting students to see the real world connection after a couple use cases was, I think, always a big challenge. But like you said, if you can connect passion with, you know, learning, you're going to have a much easier time as the teacher and the kids are going to be more engaged. So that's a great example. You know, you just brought up something. You've talked about the power of AI. So something we like to ask our guests is, especially someone like you who's using it in all these different use cases with all these different, you know, educators and leaders, what's something you're still like, wow, I can't believe right now AI can't do that or doesn't really help support X? when it comes to, you know, especially educators and AI or even your personal life.
I was just thinking about this today. Why can't AI on a greater scale help change mindset? Because it is one of those things where it's like the person has to be willing to have that. The person has to be willing to change mindset, to help change that mindset. And that is one thing that is uniquely human that it, you know, is with our own agency to do. And I feel like it is so imperative that we start changing our mindset about everything. And it's going to lead to the, your amazing ethics questions at the end. But if we really kind of focus on what it is that we want our future to look like, I think, you know, mindset will have to change. I'm like, gosh, it would be so great if we could just change the mindset of a lot of people and really push education forward in a direction that will be beneficial. But we're not there yet. And I don't think I would ever want AI to be able to do that. Totally. I think helping, maybe. Helping. Okay. And then my core, I could say, you know, it's not folding my laundry yet. So
that probably is going to happen sooner than mindsets. I'm guarantee that we're going to have tools that can do that before we can change human mindset. But well done. You mentioned, right? There's so many, right? Mindset to get people to realize AI is a tool. What are some of the tools that aren't 10 out of 10 on the charts, but like, what are some AI tools that you're seeing educators utilizing that are 11 and 10, like 11 out of 10? This just getting things done in a way that, again, is allows them, their creativity to shine, makes them more productive so they can reinvest in the things that they don't usually as educators. What are some tools you think right now people need to know about in the AI and education space?
I would say whether you are a ChatGPT fan, a Gemini fan, a Claude fan, any of the major LLMs, I think that is for sure. Start there. You can have your preference. Just get to know it really well because you can do just about anything or at least find the answer for anything that you need to do using just chatting with it, prompting, iterating, and working with those things. I think it gives you a really solid foundation of kind of the limitations sometimes we see with AI and helps build your own literacy of how far you can take it. And that's one of, I think that's probably the first thing I would have anyone do. And then the second thing is if you're looking for something specific, like an actual tool wrapper or whatever you want to call them, I would say probably, I really like Google Notebook LM. It's very practical. I think it's great for not just teachers, but students as well. And kind of like shifting the way we put together, you know, our classrooms in a lot of sense, you know, and I absolutely love it. And I think the teachers really like it because, you know, they can make it personal to themselves or they can easily collaborate with somebody. I know a lot of times schools, especially like when I was getting ready to leave the school, but it was a big push for several years about creating curriculum and assessments that are common between two levels, or we teach the same class and we want to make sure that our assessments are the same. And I find that this Google Notebook LM makes it so much easier on the teachers to be able to do that. Because I mean, like I worked in a language department, world language, and it was like the EU coming together to even kind of remotely agree on what is going to be assessed. And it took us hours to come up with five questions, well, that we would all agree upon. And now we have something that can kind of take all of our different, you know, inputs and styles and put it into one place. And it kind of just takes from all of it. And now we're deciding rather than creating these assessment questions and spending all those hours creating it. It's definitely a time saver there, but it's also very easy to share.
Pre-AI, obviously, collaboration, common planning, crucial to especially departments in education at schools. You're right. It goes from even like the five people in a department, like one person's literally writing it on like either the, you know, the smart board or on a piece of loose leaf or a poster board. And now it's like, yeah, just let's all say it. And then we can all react to it instead of like in real time trying to get each word right. Just how different that is. So yeah, AI really brings that together. Are you open for like a rapid fire? If I'm like, what tool would you recommend if someone needs to create like a slide deck or this?
Yeah, sure.
If so, you know, you're working with schools across, in this case, Orange County. So obviously they might have different tools available to them, but let's say they're like, okay, my hardest part is I know what I want to teach tomorrow. I have last year's lesson, but I really want to make it, I want to oomph it up. I want to make it just better, more engaging. This is what I want to change. And they can verbalize it to you and you're coaching them. What's a tool you might recommend to them?
I would immediately go to one of the large language models out there, Gemini, Google, you know, any of those guys.
Okay. They have their PowerPoints from the past and they're like, again, this is like someone like Brett, who like, it's a bare minimum. It gets the job done, but it's not really that exciting or engaging. I have it from last year. What am I going to?
I would use two tools. I would use, again, a large language model to analyze what could be improved upon, kind of iterate what my goals are with it. And then I would take that information and I would upload that into, like, say, Gamma or something and have it reconfigure it.
What about if a teacher really needed help, like creating a comprehensive unit plan, right? They really want to make sure like everything is comprehensive and maybe it's incorporating new standards their school or state have adopted recently and they want to make sure they're compliant.
I would probably use a combination once again between one of the large language models that are out there and then also Google Notebook for sure.
All right, great. Well, I feel like I'm trying to think of what are the major pain points we keep hearing from educators around the country. And it's usually those things. They kind of have a sense of what they want to do. They want to either get better at it. They want to, you know, reinvigorate what they've been teaching, or they know they need to like update or change with the time. So thanks for bringing a couple of those key tools out there.
I truly believe in the foundation of it. Like once you can do, most of those tools are built on top of those language models anyways. So once you can figure that out, you can just run with it.
Well, speaking of that, as you know, one of the bigger challenges is going from right 0 to 1 is probably the hardest when it comes to AI adoption, right? Getting people that level of comfort and fluency where they can like be like, okay, I kind of get it now. And now I'm ready to try and learn a large language model. So in your work with teaching with machines, do you want to maybe share like, what are some of the things, how are some ways people can either engage or interact with you to get themselves there? So let's use that use case. They know AI's out there. They hear you say, just go to large language model. And they're like, great, what does that mean? What would be tips for people, or how could they work with someone like you and teaching with machines to get there?
Well, of course, they can always reach out to me directly. That's by far. I will always put teachers and educators first. If you have a DM that you want to send me, I will do it. If you want to sign up for like a coaching session, of course we can do that, but start with just reaching out to me in the first place. But if you just want to start playing, if you just want to see where it goes, I think before you sit down with any kind of AI thing, sit down and think about what it is that you want to do. And before you make assumptions, if it can or cannot do what you're asking it to do, or wanting it to do, you simply ask it, can you do this? But first you have to have an idea of what it is that you want it to do. And if you don't, start without, you know, something super small, you know, and write a poem or whatever it is, you know, or here's my assignment from, you know, last week. Can you maybe add on an additional homework assignment that would support it? Something like that, something super small. If you don't already know what you want to do, but if you know what you want, all you have to do is simply ask AI. And then if it gives you too much information, you can say, okay, you need to slow down. Walk me through this step-by-step, one step at a time. And I think that is key, because then it kind of checks in with you when you can get things done that way.
Yeah, I think you made some great points. So one, for folks out there, you know, again, reach directly out to Marissa. I know just from, I can speak very highly of the work she's led at some of the schools we've been fortunate to collaborate on together, but also she's working with, you know, entire schools or districts to integrate how to use AI strategically, lead professional developments. So if you're someone who's figuring out where to start, and also how do you get other people like educators or your leadership team on board, This is a great starting point of try things. And then when you read some expert reinforcements or people to help move your mission and vision forward around AI, you know, readiness, you have someone right here. All right, Marissa, we made up a game a couple guests ago, which I've actually truly enjoyed. So I wanted to get a sense from you if these might be of interest to you. So one, if we were to think through, you know, right now is we're at this precipice, right? Like we have come this far so far with AI. There's so much more that's going to go. What would you say is your wish, right? If it's 11-11, what's the wish you would give on how AI can really shape education? I know we've talked about mindset. For education and society, like what would be the thing you said, wow, AI actually accomplished this, and that makes the world a better place?
Well, I don't think it's AI. I think it's going to be humans. And I think AI will be the partner in it, but or if anything, the catalyst. I think if I had the biggest wish is we stop seeing these tools like band-aids for a problem and really focus on the problem. I think a lot of what we're seeing right now is, again, that mind shift that is required to kind of try to move forward. I would love for us to see education truly for what it was supposed to be, which is for learning. For the beauty of learning, for the growth, the personal growth, instead of a means to an end. Like I need to get the grades in order to go to the college or in order to, you know, get that job. Because when we have that as our motivation, learning is no longer our motivation. But as our system is currently set up, that would require a huge change in the mind shift of saying, hey, you know, grades, while they're important, they're not that important. You know what I mean? What is important is that you are demonstrating your understanding. And it's really tough because I see a lot of, and just recently, Brett, I thought about posting this on LinkedIn today. I see a lot about kids are cheating, you know, using AI. And then I see over here, teachers are cheating for using AI for feedback. And I keep on thinking to myself, we've been told that getting things done quickly in order to move forward is the only way we can do things, rather than students want to learn because they need to learn and they have a desire to learn, and teachers have the desire to teach them to learn. I'm not saying that teachers don't feel that. I just think, like, even myself, I experienced it towards the end of my career. I would spend hours on feedback and very few kids, they didn't care about the feedback. They cared about the final grade. And so then what am I doing here? You know what I mean? It gets really frustrating. So if we have that mind shift, if there is a world and a possibility where education can really, truly return to learning and education and that, and of course, you know, I would love to see education free for all. I'm just going to throw that out there. And I feel like AI might be able to do that.
This is your chat. Listen, there's no anyways, like if you want to talk about it, this is where we get to talk about it. Like, no, where else do we get to?
I mean,
like
pie in the sky, you know? Like, I mean, it just requires a lot of changes. And I think, I mean, I'll even give you one more example. I recently went to a go-to-market conference, which is completely different than an educational conference, right? Different audience, different everything. And one of the audience members asked one of the presenters, you know, with AI, you know, do you just foresee it kind of just doing what we already do and then kind of reducing the workload of the people and reducing, you know, essentially the amount of people that they're hiring to be able to do these jobs? And the person, you know, speaking is like, yeah, we're seeing that, but let's also focus on this other area. And I think so many people think like that gentleman asking that question. It's like, this is what AI is going to do. And really, we need to be coming back to, okay, yes, it could do everything that we already can do, you know, that we don't maybe want to do or takes a lot of time to do. But we really need to be focusing on that mind shift of what can we do next? How can we go even further as humanity? How can we take this company further? How can we take our students further? Those kind of things that I'm hoping that 111 wish or 1111 wish will be is really focusing on what can we be doing and how do we get there? What kind of learning will that look like?
You've got it out there in the world. Let's see who rallies around this message of hope from Marissa. So, you know, many of the students that you served are probably now, and the ones that definitely the educators you're supporting now, right? You have 11-year-olds out there who will never know a world without AI. So what's the message you want to give them about as they start to encounter it, engage with it, not just in education, but in their own life? Like, what would be some tips or guiding principles you want to make sure that, you know, they learn from you now as they potentially are starting their AI journey in earnest?
Embrace flexibility, embrace adaptability, embrace learning and critical thinking, question everything. And then at the same time, really focus on finding your own authentic voice, because that's the one thing AI cannot do. And I think in a world where we are seeing increasingly more and more AI produced items and products and all these things, people are hungry and wanting authenticity, and they're wanting something real, and only you can provide your own authentic voice, and it's going to be the most powerful thing that you own.
Well said. Yeah, I think that, as you said, the voice is crucial. Everything else can now be kind of reproduced, except what, you know, honestly, what you think and believe. So hopefully assessments and education catches up to that. So we got a few questions left. One of them I'm going to tease out now so you can like start thinking about it in the background. One of them is going to be, we're going to get to what I honestly, my favorite part is the shout outs and the flowers. So in a second, I'm going to ask you to be thinking about who are some people everyone out there needs to know about the great work they're leading. But this is, I think you kind of addressed it before, but it's a new question that I really like. You know, as we know, Rebecca is someone who thinks deeply about AI and ethics, as do you. So if AI keeps moving up the scale and all of a sudden AI gets turned up to 11, what are some safeguards or hopes you have, especially in the world of education, to make sure that ethics don't drop to zero? Like, what are some things we should make sure are happening now? How can we start to think through that as AI continues to get ramped up in education?
It's such a great question, because I really think we have to continually ask, what is it that we want? If all things are possible, if there's a million different things that are possible now, what is it that we want? What is it that we want for our students? What is it that they want? And what kind of future do we want to have? And I think keeping that in the center of every piece of approach to AI and integration to AI, we want to make sure we're using the tools that actually support what it is, what we want to see in the future. Do we want to see AI replacing people, or do we want to see the people being able to go further than they ever could before without it? Like, what do we want to see? And I think if we keep that at the heart of it, especially in education for our students and their future, because we don't know what that future is going to look like. We don't even know what 5 years from now. And that's the scary part, right? We don't really know. And so what we do know is what we want. We want to make sure that they're taken care of. Let's focus on those things. And when we do integrate AI, they better support those things.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it kind of sounds like we said before, for people wanting to dig into AI, what do you actually want? What are your goals? And then how does AI supplement that, not the other way around? So I hope that's the direction we keep going. All right. This one also came from just a few podcasts ago. We started asking our guests, what's a question that you might have, again, for usually Rebecca and I, but in this case, that you might have for me that might be helpful for our audience to think through?
I really liked your question about, like, what is it that you really would like to see? Like, where do you, I don't know exactly the question it was, but it was like, where do you want, like, if you, oh, the wish question, like, what wish would you like to see?
I think it's, I mean, I'm just going to copy a bunch of your answers and weave them together. One, mindset, definitely asking people to start with, let's all acknowledge that all our students are coming in from different places. And in the past, it was an impossibility if you had 150 students on your roster every day to personalize learning, but now you truly can, right? You can aggregate data so quickly and turn it into, you know, as you said before, if you know clearly what you want, if you want every student to engage in, just using an example from you, a beginner level lesson in French, well, if you actually know all the different learning modalities, challenges, accelerations the students have, you can literally do that with some baseline data and actually have each student learn about French from an area of subject matter that they're more passionate about at the Lexile level they need with the modifications. Like, that to me is, if that could happen alone, where people recognize that's actually possible and it's maybe a little bit of front-loading work, but then the rest of your journey as an educator with that group of students could be just so much more engaging and wonderful. I think that would probably be, like, right now in 2025, my biggest wish is that people recognize that we actually have that capability, and it's not potentially more expensive. It doesn't require a whole lot of onboarding or training. It really requires, whether it's a teacher or an educator or a leader, to just, like, embrace that and know that that's possible. And even if you can't do it across all your different learning and data tools, you can create your own pretty quickly now and provide it with some baseline data, again, as making sure it's ethical data safety, whether you need to use, you know, the letter A through Z for your class of 26 kids so that you're not putting any personal data in about the student, but it's out there.
I have a quick question, like a follow-up question with that, right? Because I remember seeing on TikTok, it was kind of like, tell me your unhinged teacher education opinion, right? And somebody wrote, I think differentiation is doing more harm than good. And I went down personally a rabbit hole on that, because I thought, here we are in education, you know, being like, you can differentiate, you can personalize, you can do all these things. But I really couldn't figure out, and this is my question to you, what would that look like in the class? If the hard part is differentiating, let's say for 35 students, right? Now we have this tool that can actually help us do that. What does, and does it look like a traditional classroom? How would your time as an educator look like with your students in that classroom if we are differentiating to that extent?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think, and I don't blame that person for having that philosophy. I think everything in education, if you make it, this is a good example, data-driven instruction, right? Instructional cycles. I worked at so many schools where when we did it with Fidelity, it was such a time-consuming process that by the end of it, people were just like, no, I don't want to do this anymore. And I completely got why, right? Just to do it well takes up all of your time, and then to differentiate instruction and be like, okay, we know which kids need this, this, and that. Now let's make questions that meet them where they are. And that's just like content, right? That's standards and content. Now, like, okay, now layer in this student, me and you got it different. Me and you did not meet the learning standards, but you have different needs in the classroom than I do. Now, that's another level. It's like, you know, it just keeps going down that rabbit hole. So I think it's exhausting to actually ask educators to authentically differentiate. And then when you do all that work, you have to do it again the next day or the next thing. And if they show progress, you have to use a different, you know, assessment checkpoint. I think that's where I wouldn't blame a teacher, especially who's on the front lines, being like, no more differentiation. Everyone gets what they get. We all get the same test or standardized test at the end. So why are we doing this? It's because it's exhausting. But if you imagine if you actually had a system where by you inputting, you know, all of the checks for understanding and all different types of assessments, and it actually gave you feedback, like based on today's lesson, and you already know what your essential questions, outcomes, you have your great lesson plan, and you even know what your end of lesson assessment is, great. Here's 35 different exit tickets, or here's 35 different ways to get them all hooked. You're not making that anymore, but if you're not collecting that data and then inputting it into something, that's where people, I would not blame a teacher for the way things have been. The high demands, especially data-driven instruction differentiation, that's where I think it's a mindset, but it's only because people haven't been shown there is a pathway towards that with AI that you've just never been given access to. So that would be my, hopefully I can come up with a better answer to that if that teacher asked me that.
I mean, it's fascinating though, right? Because what does it actually look like? What would your instruction look like? What would an hour in your class look like? You know what I mean?
No, I think the thing that I've heard now nationally, like a couple of keynote speakers when we were out in Ohio, were like very adamant about, right? There's that, actually it was Matt Winters, right? He leads all of Utah's AI initiatives for the entire state. And he said, you know, there is this place of what happens to the teacher's position in the classroom if everyone has access to AI and can get any answers? And first, as a teacher or educator who's like typically considered, like I think you said it before, right, the holder of all wisdom, to now be able to say, everyone has access to this. I'm really here to facilitate you towards, like, how could you use this tool? I think of it as more like an apprenticeship. I'm here to help you master this tool that we all have access to. But, and a lot of the prep work that would go into being an educator is going to be completely different, in my opinion, if it's, I already know each of you because I know you as a human, but now I also know, like, all this data that would be very hard for me to analyze and then create something for you has been done. So now when I'm in the classroom, it's like, everyone go to your device, or I've printed this out. These are all differentiated for you, right? It does all the work for the teacher in that regard, as long as you know, you ask the right questions and you're thoughtful about how to get to that end result. And then it's, now I'm checking in with you as a person, right? Like, I already know this is the right reading level for you if I'm giving it the right data. I already know this is something you're interested in because you've told me this in the last week. So now it's like, great. All that work that used to be is like, well, now I'm building a relationship deeper with you. And now I'm like, hey, I know you had a rough couple weeks with what happened with your sister. Let's check in about that. Because I know once I get you to a place where you feel seen, heard, loved, you're going to do the work, right? But before, who has time for that?
Truly. Hey, what is it? It's taking the personalized to the personal.
Well, excellent questions. Very thought-provoking. We are going to finish up here with two things. The first one is, because I feel like we always end with this question, then we're like, where could people find you? I'd rather make them wait a second about this last question. So Marissa, just make sure everyone out there knows, if they have been listening and they're like, yep, I gotta learn more about what Marissa's doing, or I gotta partner with her, or I gotta get her in front of my students, teachers, leaders, whatever, tell them, where can they find more about you? What are some maybe things you're doing in the near future? You know, this is a chance to amplify yourself here.
Yeah, I'll put it out there because then it'll force me to do it. I am building something, hopefully, that teachers are going to enjoy, that is going to kind of cut through the noise and of the AI tool noise. So I'm hoping to get that off the ground. But you can find me on LinkedIn at Marissa Sadler Holder. You can also find me on teachingwithmachines.com. And you can email me at Marissa, M-E-R-I-S-S-A, at teachingwithmachines.com. I'd love to meet with you guys, honestly, even if it's just to talk, and if it's to hop on Zoom for a coffee talk and talk high level or play around with AI, like I'm all for it. Just reach out. Totally willing.
Okay. Well, again, that's how you can learn more about Marissa. But now I'm hoping that Marissa, again, by no means feel like you need to, you could talk about one person, you talk about 11 people, you can talk about 111 people. It doesn't really matter. But this last question is more the idea of, you know, the movie Ocean's 11, this great crew of people who are all like specialists and experts in certain things. They pull off this impossible thing. They build this dream team. So right now, with the state of AI, the state of education, who are some people that everyone out there in the audience knows, needs to know about? These are kind of Marissa's team of experts who inspire her or who are doing great work in the field. Could be educators, could be innovators, could be a district, whatever you want. This is your chance to just highlight great things happening out there.
As far as like educators connected to AI, I would say for sure, Wes and Kunal from Orange County Department of Education. Let's see, Jessica Ann. She's at Stanford AI Tinkery. She's amazing. There's a slew of them, of course, but when I think of the dream team too, like I think of like who has helped me along my own journey. And there's a couple people outside of education too that provide amazing insights. And that is Corey Cuccella. I could be Cacciola. I'm probably mispronouncing his name. He's on LinkedIn as well. Back to education, Neka McGee. I'm so glad to be able to call her one of my friends, but she is just such a great, sound, innovative person. And she just shares her wisdom. And she's always looking forward too. And that's what I really appreciate about her. She's like, yeah, AI is great, but what about this quantum computing thing that we have going on. And I'm like, girl, let me just catch up with AI. but she's another person that I definitely think people should be following. Kendall Sizemore, he's actually one of my cousins in Texas, but he's also an AI person. And he's more on the technical side. And man, I told him I had an idea for something and he was able to create a prototype like in 10 minutes. If you have questions, go to him. He's a good friend to have. And let's see, I think I'll stop there, but there's just so many people. Don't think that you always have to be within the AI education space either. You'll find inspiration wherever you go. As a teacher of 13 years, go to market, you know, conference. I was definitely not in my realm, but I found inspiration there as well. And I was able to make connections with people there too. So just be open to learning, be open to meeting new people and start saying yes.
Yes. Yes. I love it. All right. Yes. No, that was excellent. Thank you again so much, Marissa, for sharing your wisdom, your insight, you know, taking all the experience you've had in the classroom and beyond and all the work you do. First, just thank you for helping so many teachers and educators and leaders out there. And I hope that this allows people to learn more about you and that they, you know, again, continue to engage with you and try to find ways for you to bring your services and support to their communities. Just want to say thank you again, Marissa. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the AMP 211 podcast. Keep staying curious. And as Marissa said, keep saying yes and be open to innovation and change, especially in the world of education and beyond. Have a wonderful day and thanks for listening.